Good morning. The meeting will come to order. Welcome to the March 19, 2025 meeting of the Budget and Finance Committee. I'm Supervisor Connie Chan, Chair of the Committee. I'm joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Matt Dorsey and Member Supervisor Joel Ingardio. Our clerk is Brent Halipa. I would like to thank Sue's Enols from SFGov TV for broadcasting this meeting. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcement?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a friendly reminder. To those in attendance, to please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices to prevent interruptions to our proceedings. Should you have any documents to be included as part of the file, it should be submitted to myself, the clerk. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on the west side of the chamber to your right, my left, along those curtains. And while not required to provide public comment, we do invite you to fill out a comment card and leave them by the tray next to the television by the doors. If you wish to be accurately recorded for the minutes, alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Budget and Finance Committee Clerk at brent.jalipa@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be forwarded to the supervisors and also included as part of the official file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. Postal Service to our office in City Hall at 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. And finally, Madam Chair, items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of March 25th, unless otherwise stated. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. And before we call item number one, just wanted to remind everyone for items that we have budget and legislative analyst report, we will go to department presentation, budget and legislative analyst report, and then we'll take questions from the committee, and then we will go to public comment. And with that, Mr. Clerk, please call item number one.
Yes, item number one is a resolution adopting findings that the Marina Improvement and Remediation Project are fiscally feasible and responsible under the administrative code. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And first, we have Recreation and Park Department here.
Good morning. Should I wait for the presentation to load up? Good morning, Supervisors. My name is Monica Scott, and I'm the project manager with the Recreation and Parks Department for the Marina Improvement and Remediation Project. This is a joint project between the city and PG&E. This project stems from a final settlement agreement following years of litigation that was approved by the Board of Supervisors in 2021. I'm here today to provide a brief overview of the project to allow the board to evaluate the project's fiscal feasibility per the requirements of San Francisco Administrative Code Chapter 29. A PG&E predecessor owned and operated a coal gasification plant in the vicinity of the Marina Green that produced contaminants later found at the East Harbor Marina. The FSA, Final Settlement Agreement, was built on three primary goals, one of which being environmental remediation. On this slide, you can see the extent of the remediation component of the project, which includes dredging and capping areas of the East Harbor to allow for a portion to be rebuilt as a marina. There will also be a reactive barrier installed along the shoreline, and on and offshore monitoring will occur during and after the project, followed by institutional controls which will be established to protect the site integrity following construction. The other two project goals are a fiscally sustainable marina and increased public access to the water. This slide shows an overview of the marina improvements for this project, which for the West Harbor include the construction of a breakwater to reduce the ongoing dredging needs due to sedimentation and sand transport, the reinstallation of slips in the West Harbor that had been removed in recent years due to the same sedimentation, and the potential relocation of a fuel dock. In the East Harbor, we'll be improving and adding pedestrian access to the existing breakwater and adding a breakwater extension, installing new reconfigured docks, installing a community dock that will allow for people with small non-motorized crafts like kayaks and paddleboards to access the water in the southern basin, and will also be making upland improvements and increasing amenities of the Marina Triangle. Here you can see more detail of the public access improvements with the accessible community dock, a widened shoreline which allows for a nature exploration area, and the addition of volleyball courts and an extensive planting to the Marina Triangle. We had a robust community outreach process for this project with a record turnout at 5 community meetings, surveys, and more than 24 meetings with key stakeholders. With the modifications made to this project following the ordinance passed by the board in February of 2024, I'm happy to report that the community is supportive of this project, and we've been able to achieve our third and final goal of creating a fiscally sustainable marina. The direct and indirect benefits of the project include decreased operations and maintenance costs through updated facilities and infrastructure, decrease in health spending by having accessible open space that leads to improved physical and mental health, increased property values for surrounding businesses and residential buildings, and an increase in commerce for local merchants. The total estimated project cost, including contingencies, is $188 million. Through the settlement agreement, PG&E will pay up to $190 million in project costs, of which the department will repay up to $29.4 million over 30 years, starting 3 years after the project completion. All payments are to be exclusively made from marina revenues, and following completion of the project, with planned increases to the East Harbor rates to match the West Harbor, we project the marina revenues will be sufficient to cover the costs of the PG&E debt service as well as all marina operating costs. The next steps for this project include conducting environmental review to complete a multi-agency permitting process. The design will be continuing. Construction cannot commence until the environmental review is complete, and we're looking at about a 22 to 24 month timeline for that environmental review. And this concludes my presentation. I'm joined today by Antonio Guerra, our Director of Finance, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Good morning, Supervisors. Nick Bernard from the Budget Legislative Analyst Office. Item one is a resolution that would adopt a fiscal feasibility finding for the Marina Remediation and Renovation Project under Chapter 29 of the Administrative Code. That asks us and you to look at the benefits of the project, the total cost of the project, the funding sources for the project, and maintenance costs. We examine those in our report. And I think the bottom line is that there's a clear funding source for this project from the PG&E settlement, and that the revenues generated from the marina are sufficient to pay for the $29.4 million that the city would have to repay PG&E over 30 years, as well as maintenance costs, which are actually going down as a result of this project. We recommend approval of item one.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Been going on for quite some time, frankly. Let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, right now opening public comment for this item number one. If we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee.
Yes, good morning. Okay, so who owns PG&E already? I forgot. So basically PG&E is going to own the marinas because that's what it is. So I've been living on my boat for 10 years, so I know Pier 39. It's good to improve the marinas, obviously, but now one of the reasons I left is not only because I opposed anything concerning the pandemic of unintelligence, it's because PG&E put smart meters, which are extremely dangerous for everyone. Smart meters, you understand English. So I think it's part of the plan, right? I don't know exactly where it's going, but I can tell that it's not good for the people, for San Franciscans. Recreation and park, you should focus on instead, I mean, as well, at least, making every park in the city, 1/8 of every park, devoted to grow food. I'm going to go back to you. The problem is that you have your meetings on Thursdays when I'm working, so I can't be there, otherwise I would. Okay, more later.
And with that, Madam Chair, that completes our queue.
Seeing no public comments, public comment is now closed. I think my final question is probably before we move this forward is, what will be the ongoing just process for community outreach and just keeping the neighbors and community informed? What is that gonna actually look like?
Sure. So as we move forward, we have a project website where I issue regular updates. We have over close to 1,000 people signed up to receive those updates. And so those are issued on a regular basis once we reach major milestones. I'm also continuing engagement with some of the key stakeholders in the community that are really actively involved and interested in the project. So I review updates to the plans as we're still receptive to feedback that they have about the project design. And moving forward with the environmental review process, the planning department will likely be conducting their own public engagement. That's a part of the CEQA process. And then going forward, we'll be returning to the public at the Rec and Park Commission meeting for the approval of CEQA findings and the eventually the contract award as well.
Thank you. We appreciate it. How often will you plan to issue updates?
I hope to issue them monthly.
Okay.
So long as there's progress, right?
Of course.
I try to sometimes, I would say, quarterly at a minimum.
Thank you.
Yeah.
With that, colleagues, I would like to move this item to full board with recommendation. I now just noted that Supervisor Sherrill's office is here. Would you like to say a few words on behalf of Supervisor Sherrill? Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Rec and Park Department for in the past month meeting with key stakeholders in District 2. It has been, as you have mentioned, Chair Chan, a long process to get to this point, and we really, really appreciate their willingness to go through that process of receiving community feedback and getting to a design that everybody has agreed is good for the future of the marina. Thank you.
Thank you. And so with that, colleagues, I would like to move this item to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on the motion to forward to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio. Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have 3 ayes.
The motion passes. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 2.
Yes, item number 2 is a resolution accepting payment of delinquent special taxes in improvement area number 1 of the City and County Special Tax District, number 2009-1, San Francisco Sustainable Financing, from AMB Pier 1 LLC, approving settlement agreement and release claims and providing for other matters related thereto as defined. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And today we have Controller's Office here.
Good morning, Supervisors. My name is Vishal Dwivedi from the Controller's Office of Public Finance. Thank you for hearing this resolution today, and apologies for my voice. I'm recovering from a cold, that's all. Sorry. This resolution asks the city to accept the terms of a settlement agreement with AMB Pier 1, who is referred to as the lessee in the resolution, for the repayment of delinquent special taxes on a parcel of land that they lease from the Port of San Francisco. And to give you a brief bit of background, in fiscal year 2009-10, the city established a special tax district to support the Green Finance SF program, which would allow for the issuance of bonds to fund certain energy and efficiency improvement projects on parcels that get annexed into the district. And then subsequently, at the request of the lessee and the port, the city established a project area in this district called Improvement Area 1. And in 2012, sold special tax bonds to finance the certain energy efficiency projects at Pier 1 on behalf of the lessee. And the city uses the special tax payments received from the lessee to pay debt service on the bonds. A review of the city's accounts showed that one of the payments of the special tax in the amount of $47,184.16 had not been received by the city. And so this resolution and settlement agreement before you today is intended to allow the city to accept the delinquent payment along with a 10% penalty, as well as monthly interest that the city would have received from the treasurer's pool had the payment been received timely, and other settlement costs in a total amount of $68,895.72. So the intent of the agreement is to make the city whole for this missed tax payment and to allow the controller's office to balance its books for this particular account. The lessee has agreed to the settlement amount, and this resolution will allow the city to execute the agreement and accept the funds. So I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. No further question. We will go to public comment on this item.
Yes, if we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee regarding this item number 2, that was your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comments, public comment is now closed. With that, colleagues, I would like to, so that we can settle this claim, to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on the motion to forward to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes. Thank you. And with that, Mr. Clerk, please call item number three.
Yes, item number three is a resolution authorizing the issuance and sale from time to time of bonds of the Unified School District, prescribing the terms of sale of not to exceed $160 million of said general obligation bonds, election of 2024 Series A, authorizing sale of said general obligation bonds by negotiated sale, and approving the form of bond purchase agreement, approving the forms of one or more paying agent agreements, and authorizing the execution of necessary documents and certificates relating to such bonds. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And with this, we have a representing the San Francisco Unified School District.
Thank you. My name is Dave Olson. I work with Baxter McCarley Berry. We're the municipal advisor to the San Francisco Unified School District on their bond program. That means we give the district advice on market issues and process issues with relationship to their bond issues. I'm here today with Lucinia Iberi, who is the director of the district's bond program, and with Lily Cavill, who works on her staff. This is a relatively routine matter. The district is requesting that the Board of Supervisors approve a resolution authorizing the issuance of $160 million worth of bonds. The district has been issuing bonds to fund facility repair and other capital projects for more than 20 years. The Board of Supervisors has approved this type of resolution in connection with every bond issue that the district has issued. The reason that Board of Supervisors action is required is that the California Education Code establishes a special relationship between school districts and counties, in this case the city and county, where the shared responsibility and some shared oversight. And although this is a relatively straightforward matter, we've put together a brief presentation to share a little bit about the basics of the district's bond program, if I can walk through that quickly, and we take any questions that you might have. I'd be open to anyone who knows how to work this. Thank you. This is not your presentation. It is not. And yours is. Thank you for your patience. It is not.
Did you bring it in on a thumb drive?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah, you're supposed to bring it in on a thumb drive. At least that was supposed to be the instructions.
If I can provide a quick description, the district has been holding bond elections on its own since 2004 was the first one. There are five bond issues that have been approved by district voters. All have been approved by more than 70% vote. A total of more than $2 billion has been approved in that way. With each authorization, the district has issued bonds in series over time. That's been a number of 12 new money bond issues that have been issued since 2004, which amounts to about once every 2 years. It's a routine that is established in order for the district to be able to comply with federal tax law on the expenditure of bond proceeds. Issuing those bonds has allowed the district to fund projects on an ongoing basis. The district expects to fund projects on an ongoing basis for ever and ever. The pace of expenditures has been about $100 million per year. The bonds are paid for by local taxpayers. The typical cost to average taxpayers has been about $40 per $100,000 of assessed value every year. It has been in a very narrow range for the past 10 years because of the district's repayment structure of the bonds, which the bonds are paid off over 20 years, which is relatively short compared to other school districts. The district is able to issue new bonds, pay off bonds, issue new bonds without the tax rate increasing from that level. So the district would expect to move forward at this point with a program that costs the same and funds new projects at $100 million or more in the years moving forward. The district has approved the resolution to issue bonds and to request the Board of Supervisors' approval at their March 11th meeting. The reason is this special relationship. The county levies taxes and collects taxes on behalf of the district to repay the bonds. The district, the county holds money and invests it on behalf of the school district. So there's a special relationship that requires this. Some counties in recent years, if you read your report, there's a discussion of negative qualification. Some counties have passed a blanket resolution that allows school districts to issue bonds on their own. San Francisco has never been interested in doing that, neither the district nor the county, and it's not possible to do that today because of the negative qualification of the district's budget. I do want to emphasize that the bond program runs separately than the district's finances, regular finances, and in fact, keeping facilities in good repair and funding projects that might save money to the general fund. The bond program works as positive on the district's local finances. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Item 3 is a resolution that approves the sale of a $160 million bond issuance of school district bonds, as well as paying agent agreements associated with the city collecting taxes and paying debt service on these new money bonds, as well as a refunding transaction that the district is also going to pursue at the same time. The district's refinancing $160 million of outstanding debt. So there's two kind of bond transactions here. We list the projects that the school is going to fund with this new $160 million bonds on page 12 of our report. And then on pages 13 and 16 of our report, we discuss sort of the fiscal impact overall to the school district. The bonds are, as was stated, repaid by special property taxes. So there's no implication of the city's general fund in this transaction or the school district's general fund. But overall, for a $160 million bond issuance, that will cost $226 million over 20 years. The resolution limits the term of the bonds to 20 years. That's about $11.3 million a year. The refunding bonds will save about $10.3 million over the next 10 years to the school district. We do know in our report that the Board of Supervisors actually, the reason the resolution is before you is because The board has not delegated authority to the school district to issue its own bonds and actually could not, given their budget condition at this point. That is also contributing to slightly higher financing costs, likely, which we note in our report. We recommend approval of item one.
Thank you. While I do agree that both the city and county of San Francisco and the San Francisco Unified School District, and in fact also BART, all can, and City College of San Francisco, with different jurisdiction, all can independently issue the bonds. I would say that at the same time, we're all in San Francisco and we have a symbiotic relationship. And that I can see not having a blanket authority to allow all these entities to independently issue bonds is really a financial decision on the part of collectively as a city and county of San Francisco. We want to make sure that as we continue on that we are all successful in our bond measures. And I think, in fact, this board has passed a legislation to stop pass-through from landlords to tenants when it comes to the city issue bonds, but clearly make clear at that time too that it does not impact the pass-through that can be brought on by school districts or city of San Francisco, City College of San Francisco, or BART. Just to put that as like it is a complicated relationship, but we appreciate always the partnership. As a sponsor of this bond issuance, I also appreciate that Unified School District is in a tough situation, but really in need of repair. We can see the list of items here, projects here, that really shows that what we need to do to bring the school district to a 21st century and beyond. Yeah. Technology-wise and infrastructure-wise, I particularly am interested and really pleased to see that there's roughly about almost $22 million investing in kitchens and nutrition services. I think those are really critical citywide to serve all 50,000 students and their families, given the fact that we now have free lunch program, but we still are a long ways to go in terms of the quality of the nutrition and food, in my opinion. So it's good to see that we continue to invest in that for the long haul. I am supportive of the issuance of this bond, despite financial challenges, and frankly, so does the city and county of San Francisco. We too have our budget deficits that we have to tackle. But I think it is critical to support the school district at this moment to really move forward these infrastructure repair. I don't have any other questions, but I do hope that both through the bond oversight committee, which oversee this bond for this Unified School District, and along with City and County of San Francisco, that we could get some report back in the next few months and continuously to really hope that we are on track with this almost $160 million of issuance, not quite there, but that we're putting in good use and look forward to see how the bond program unveil and construction take place. With that, let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, we are now opening public comment for this item number three, if we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee.
Okay, let's use this item because it involves education. So, one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Okay, so, education, right. Every single election is fake nowadays. It's very unfortunate, but it's the fact. We have to look at the evidence. So it means if you had an election, so-called election, to decide this is fake. Okay, how do we get there? We get there because of technology that has been used to rig every single election. Beyond that, how do we get there? Because of money. Therefore, the entire thing you are talking about here is money. We need to get rid of this system, the entire monetary system. We need to create something else. I know how. I know what We have to get out of this. We can't afford anymore to deal with this system, no matter how long it's been, you know, working, in fact, against the people. By a grab, by a bunch of idiots who think they can control the world, using technology to destroy every single one of us. So, education, yes, we need to address this in the entire school. Yes, they need better food. You bet. That's why I told earlier, recreation and park, you create sections to grow food. You can add good food, otherwise poisoning. It's food poisoning as well, you see, I mean. Aye, aye, aye. The kids are the future, so what do you want for them? Because it's yours, your kids too. I don't have any children here, so.
And Madam Chair, would that complete our queue?
Thank you, and seeing no more public comments, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I would like to move this item to full board with recommendation and the roll call, please.
And on that motion to forward to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio. Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, Mr. Clerk, please call item 4 and 5 together.
Yes, item numbers 4 and 5 are resolutions establishing the appropriations limit for fiscal year 2024 to 2025 pursuant to the California Constitution. Item 4 establishes an appropriations limit at approximately $11.7 billion due to the addition of local non-residential new construction and the percentage change in population within the San Francisco metropolitan area from the previous year for the purpose of computation of its appropriations limit. And item number 5 establishes the appropriations limit for special tax districts and infrastructure revitalization and financing districts and determining other matters in connection therewith as defined. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we again have the Controller's Office, but the Controller's Office of Public Finance here.
Yes, good morning, Supervisors. My name is Michael Mitten. I'm from the Budget and Analysis Division of the Controller's Office, and I am here to present the City and County San Francisco Appropriations Limit. For item number 5, one of my colleagues will do a separate presentation. So the appropriations limit, commonly called the GAN limit, is quote unquote a limit on appropriations derived from taxes. It's really just a limit on tax proceeds. If we collect more taxes above the limit, then we need to find a way to return that to taxpayers. That has not happened for the city. Each year, the limit increases by a population growth factor, which is either the city's population growth or the 9 Bay Area counties. The city actually grew for the first time in a couple of years, which is nice, by 0.1%, and the Bay Area actually declined still. So we'll use the 0.1% growth for the city. The second factor is either the California per capita personal income or the percentage increase in the assessment rolls due to new construction. Personal income was up 3.6% and the assessment rolls up 16.9%. You combine those two and the total percentage increase is 17%. Voters also have the option of having a temporary override to increase the GAN limit, and for the first time in a while, we do not have any of those active, but next year, all the taxes that were touched by Proposition M will raise the GAN limit for us. So our prior GAN limit from last year was $10 billion, and there's the two inflation factors that I discussed, and we get to the 24-25 limit of $11.8 billion. The appropriations subject to limit were $6 billion. There are a few things that we can deduct from that: voter-approved debt, qualified capital outlay, and federal mandates, mainly Social Security and Medicare. So the net proceeds is $5.4 billion. The limit was $11.8 billion, so that leaves us $5.4 billion below the limit, $6.4 billion below the limit. And That is my presentation. We go directly to five.
Please.
Good morning, Supervisors. I'm Bridget Katz with the Controller's Office of Public Finance, and I will be presenting on the resolution establishing the appropriations limit for fiscal 24-25 for special tax districts and infrastructure and revitalization financing districts. The adoption of the resolution was recommended by Council to comply with best practices as part of the City Attorney's ongoing supervision of financing districts. Community facilities districts, special tax districts, and infrastructure and revitalization financing districts are government entities whose appropriations limits are established at the time these districts are formed. The laws governing these districts provide for an adjustment of the appropriations limit based upon two factors. One is population, the other is cost of living. Population growth is determined using the year-over-year change in San Francisco City and County's population. Per the State Department of Finance, this was 0.11% last year. Cost of living is determined using the change in California per capita personal income. Also, per Department of Finance, this was 3.62% last year, for a combined adjustment factor of 3.73% for fiscal 24-25. This table shows the proposed fiscal 24-25 appropriations limits by district when applying the 3.73% factor to last year's limits. And as I mentioned, these original appropriations limits were set at the time of formation of these districts. This concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions from committee.
Thank you.
Items 4 and 5 set appropriation limits for the city as a whole and then for 12 special tax districts, which we note in our report on pages 20 and 21. As was noted by the Controller's Office, the citywide limit does not affect spending because the city's way below, like more than 50% below the limit. It's never been a problem for the city. It's really a problem for the state in some years, but it's not a problem for San Francisco. The special tax limits should have been set when they were established, but have not been. So item 4 does establish those limits. The limits do not impair the development programs, according to the Controller's Office of Public Finance. So like the citywide limit, these other limits are not preventing any spending or planned spending from happening. We recommend items 4 and 5 for approval.
Thank you. I have to admit, this is one of those items that, like, it does take me quite a bit to try to understand, and I'm still trying to grasp, like, the limits and the association, but I really appreciate the items before us today, and just again learning something really new for me, and I appreciate and that the fact that we have 12 special tax districts in San Francisco, and then we will probably circle back at some point, have a better understanding, you know, the impact of special tax districts in San Francisco, and oftentimes I think there were outside of this building, there were like policy debates about whether special tax districts is the most beneficial for the city, you know, a balance between development in a specific areas versus citywide as we continue to tackle the city's budget deficit and trying to understand our capacity, financial capacity as a city and county. So with that, thank you so much for the information, and we will go to public comments on both items.
Yes, right now opening public comment. If we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee regarding these items 4 and 5.
Yes, okay, so the reason I was heading for the fire department commission, but until I realized they don't have a meeting on the, third Wednesday, so I came here. is to have some time to speak, you know, like, because otherwise, so at least for the record, you don't understand. That's the problem. That a revolution is on. The entire thing has to stop. The monetary system has to stop. So you are still stuck with following things that you are told to say. In fact, from people who are already dead. They are dead. They committed crimes that kill people. Once you kill someone, directly or indirectly, you are done. Your soul is dead. So you are working for people who are dead. Why? They are dead. So you don't want to be dead as well. I mean, I don't know. It's your life. But you, if you kill, continue to basically destroy your soul, that's over. So a revolution is on. We need to change everything. I'm here for to help. Seriously, I've been doing that for 2 years. Okay, never mind. The governor is dead. Newsom is dead. He killed people live. Recommending deadly injections. Everybody should know that now. That's enough. Okay, so I'm using here budget. Yes, but whatever. It's over. Now, adapt to the very idea. My goal here is to inculcate that in your brain, to understand that it's over. So now you need to understand it's going to change.
Madam Chair, we have no further speakers.
Seeing no more public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I would like to send items 4 and 5 to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on the motion to send both resolutions to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio. Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have 3 ayes.
The motion passes. With that, Mr. Clerk, please call item number 6.
Yes, item number 6 is a resolution authorizing the Mayor's Office through their Office of Innovation to accept in-kind gifts of consulting services from ZS Associates valued at approximately $169,000 and Adobe valued at approximately $169,000 for a total value of approximately $338,000 from February 26, 2025 through June 13, 2025 in connection with the Civic Bridge Program, and to authorize the Office of Innovation to enter into amendments or modifications to the donor agreement that do not materially increase the obligations nor liabilities to the city and are necessary to effectuate the purposes of the donor agreement or this resolution. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And today we have the Mayor's Office of Innovation here.
Yes, Matt Larson with the Mayor's Office of Innovation. I oversee the Civic Bridge Program. Thank you for your consideration today, supervisors. The Civic Bridge Program has been running for 10 years now. It brings in pro bono, private sector, academic, nonprofit teams to work with city departments on well-scoped city challenges. Over the last 10 years, we've had 87 projects across 35 departments and 29 external partners. These projects cannot create downstream opportunities for any of the participating partners. Projects typically align with strategic plans, no different for this year's cohort. This year, we have been our projects focus on improving service delivery as well as accountability. San Francisco Public Library and Adobe are going to be proposed to work together to develop a consistent method to collect actionable feedback from patrons of public programs for the public library to measure impact and inform long-term operational decisions. This will include Adobe developing user-friendly feedback tools to source patron input. And define a set of key performance indicators to measure tangible outcomes and qualitative community impact in line with their strategic plan for 2030. SFMTA and ZS Associates are proposing to work together to improve SFMTA's customer service, outreach, and engagement, specifically focusing in on their public outreach and engagement team strategy and the public engagement feedback loop. They'll be identifying key performance metrics for each milestone of the feedback loop, defining kind of a recommendation for how to measure the performance over time to inform iterative development of the POETS program. So with that, each project was evaluated by a review committee of city department partners, so COIT, Digital Services, Department of Technology, DataSF, and Controller's Office. These were each scoped in service of key outcomes, outlined in strategic plans for the departments, and hopefully will help improve our public engagement and trust. I will note that the Adobe and Public Library project would be retroactive. They had to begin a little bit earlier than the final board vote to onboard the Adobe team prior to the Night of Ideas event with the library. That event is in April, wanting to be sure the Adobe folks were onboarded and were able to come up with a kind of a rapid iteration measurement tool for the event and be able to participate. The SFMTA and CS Associates project has actually been delayed until after a final board vote.
Thank you. I think you did. You came to before this body to similarly a project, which included one that I was really interested in. I'm just kind of curious where it's at. It's actually with the fire department, tracking ambulance, those who call for emergency services and for ambulance, and including those who try to identify what those calls were, and especially those that make the calls repeatedly or high callers, and so to speak. Do you have any information, or once you move forward with these projects, where do you go back for the routine sort of updates? And do you go back to the commission, or do you have like a quarterly report about the progress made?
So I check in regularly the first couple of weeks after any project ends, and then again on 6-month cadences. For the fire department project with Adobe last year, it was a project between EMS-6, which deals mm-hmm. with high volume 911 or emergency service utilizers. They worked together to identify or develop kind of a prototype for a wellness client wellness tracker that worked across kind of a multitude of different kind of need areas, from housing, substance use disorder, mental health, food, job placement, and developed a very a prototype that we're working with the fire department to figure out what the best kind of opportunity to pilot is. But that was a project that I'm still in communication with the EMS-6 team, Mike Mason, as well as April Sloan, to figure out kind of what the next steps are for piloting in a safe and responsible manner.
Understood. Just look forward to if we have more of these coming through next round. Let's have a discussion about how do we the commission themselves receive either a quarterly report or some kind of report, routine report, to help us understand the progress of these projects and what is it that we can do to have. Or if there are the actual pilot and that resolution of those pilots.
Yes, and I'm happy to share at the end of each cohort, we have a kind of a celebration presentation of the final deliverables from the projects. Happy to share with your office, as well as the committee, the final reports from the last cohort, and welcome your all's attendance in future showcases. It's a really amazing program that brings and demonstrates the kind of power of cross-sectoral collaboration in service of the city.
Thank you. That'll be great. We look forward to it. Thank you. And with that, let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, we're now opening public comment for this item number 6. If we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee.
I got to do it. I'm here. So no, your job, your duty should be now to disrespect what you are told to do. Pretend doing it. Don't do it. Just disobey, basically. Because you stay trapped otherwise. You know, you need to get out of this trap of the money. That's all. You need to get out of it. So how do you do that? But you disobey. That's why I call for civil disobedience until this fake government is out. We don't want this. Human beings don't want a fake entity that controls other, like it's not a government, doesn't serve the people. It's so clear. Everything's rigged. SFMTA, they allowed, with a fake election, the closure of, by the way, my friend Joel, of the Great Highway. People don't want the Great Highway closed. Come on, what came to your mind? So there are going to be a protest here, by the way, this Friday. I told people to come with their dogs. You see, like that, it's perfect for the bug revolution. You know, we reconnect with animals. We need to have this Great Highway open. Otherwise, you lock people in the city. That's the goal. No good. Come on, man. How can you do that? It's your future here, directly. Get out of the trap, step by step, disobey.
Next speaker, please.
Hello, my name is John Willard. I'm a psychiatric clinical social worker. I guess I have a question for the clerk. I'm trying to get clarification. I got news from multiple sources that there would be a hearing item regarding the limitation on leases for the Adante and Monarch Hotel today. Maybe I missed that throughout the agenda. And it was...
If it's not on the agenda, we're not hearing it today.
Okay. May I give public comment relative to that?
Despite the previous commenter, at the committee level, we're only empowered to hear public comment on items on the agenda.
Okay. Was that not covered today? I wanted to make sure.
If it's not on the agenda, we are not hearing it today.
Okay.
You're welcome to submit the written.
Okay.
Comments.
I'll submit written. Thank you.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
And with that, that completes our cue.
Seeing no more public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I would like to move this item to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on that motion, to forward this resolution to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes. Mr. Clerk, do we have any other business before us today?
Madam Chair, that completes our business.
Thank you. And today we do have our special Budget and Appropriation Committee hearing at 4 p.m. Back in this chamber and location. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.